pray, Father, that your mercy would be great, that it would be great on us, that our minds would be cleared, our ears opened, and our hearts softened to take the implanted word, that it would bear much fruit in our hearts. Father, I pray for myself that I would be given the strength to preach the message that you have prepared for your people, that it would be nourishment to us, that it would be life for the week to come, that it would give glory to you. I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. So why are we talking about the Sabbath? I mean, really, I spent one day talking about all of creation, a second day talking about the creation of man, and now I have three short verses, and we're going to spend an entire Sunday on it. So to answer the why in the short term, before we get into the verses themselves, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. So chapter 31, and it'd be 13 is where we'll start. Or I guess we can start in 12. There's only a few words there. But and remember, in chapter 32 is where the golden calf becomes an issue. So in verse 12, it says, And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall you work be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses when he had finished speaking with him on the Mount of Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And then the golden calf happens, and then Moses gets set down. What's the last thing God's talking about before he hands over the tablets of stone to Moses? The Sabbath day. There's a lot going on in that 40 days when he's up on the mountain. The last thing God chooses to speak about before he finally hands over the tablets is the fourth commandment: to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So why are we talking about it? Well, it's often Sproul, R.C. Sproul, says it this way, that the Sabbath is often cited as an important example that stands for the whole law. What do I mean? Well, I mean it's the canary in the coal mine. When people don't offer the Sabbath to God as holy, and don't treat it as holy, and don't honor it as holy, and keep it, it shows more about their heart and all the sin that's in it than it does about that day specifically. There is a problem in the mind if people do not keep the Sabbath, if people do not honor it as holy. You see it pointed out in Ezekiel. You see it pointed out in Nehemiah. You see it in Isaiah, in Jeremiah. As the people of God come to that point when they have ended their run as a kingdom, and God has judged them as falling short, all the prophets in like accord point to the reality that they did not honor the Sabbath. They did not keep it holy. They honored other gods. They did all kinds of evil things. And yet the Sabbath day keeps coming up as something that they are specifically judged for because they did not keep it. Nehemiah, when he would rebuild Jerusalem's wall, would go off his rocker because people are trying to sell and buy on the Sabbath. Meaning they're going to treat it just like any other day. A good day to make money. And so he'd lock the doors. So he'd say, I'm going to send people out to beat you up if you keep hanging out here thinking you're going to sell stuff. This is not going to happen. And even Jesus, But they were so vehement and it was so ingrained in them that this is why this has happened to us. They get to the time of Christ and Christ actually does good on the Sabbath and heals. And you know what? That's the reason over and over they keep saying they're mad at Christ. They're going to kill Christ. They're upset with Christ because he would heal on the Sabbath. They thought it was work. We'll get to that a little bit later on why it's not, but I want you to point out to you that the entire nation of Israel understood that the Sabbath and not honoring it was why the first two kingdoms fell. It was the canary that showed the lack of love for God in their heart. And so we come to this text, chapter 2, verse 1 of Genesis. Early on, he has just finished all of creation. And what do we read? Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. We'll stop there and say there's no more creation required. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that comes into being now is because of something that has already happened. Everything is comes through a secondary means of creation. God created the child in the womb, amen? He knit them together, we read in Psalms 139. David speak before I was made in my mother's womb. And yet that is a secondary means. The father and the mother have to do something. And God has created the nature as such that that continues in that created order. Things are created now, but they're created in the like nature as what has already come. Even the stars that the Hubble telescope sees in the sky as we get to watch the creation of galaxies, they tell us. The matter was not created that day. It's coming. It did not come into existence ex nihilo at that moment. It happened a long time ago when God said, let there be. And then it came into existence. It is finished on day 6. And so he rests on day 7. All that we see now is because of that. And he has done creating as the first means. So we are, I've mentioned before that we are a secondary means that he uses to do all kinds of things. But in the day 1 through 6, he was the primary cause of all of existence. And he doesn't want to do that anymore. He has now allowed us to be part of that creation as we create many things. But it's by his grace that we accomplish these things. So why did he come to the seventh day and decide to rest? Was God tired? Absolutely not. He wasn't tired. He wasn't overwhelmed by making all of this stuff. So why would he choose to rest on this day? For what purpose did he have? Well, we read it in Exodus 31. What did he say? For this will be a sign to you. He gave them the covenant. He gave them the sign of the Sabbath. They are his. But he established it the first seventh day. And he said it's going to be a sign. So we do not rest because God was tired on the seventh day. And nor do we choose to rest on the seventh day because we're tired and can't work. Everyone knows you can keep working. There are many men and many women that work 7 days. They don't rest. Why not? Because they don't need to. We don't rest because we're tired on the seventh day. We rest because God has commanded it, because God has established it, and because God has given us it as a sign that he is the one to whom we are covenanting. He is the one to be honored. He is the one that we are to thank for all of creation. It is a sign that we are to give glory to him and in obedience follow. Like baptism, like communion, they are all signs and seals of things that are God's and God's people. God takes steps that we might continue to remember and be encouraged by his covenant with us. And so we have baptism, that we might remember that we have been baptized with the Spirit, that our sins have been washed away. And so we have communion, that we remember that we have continually have communion with him because of the work of Christ on the cross. And that we need him to sustain us in all things. And we have the Sabbath day as a sign that we are his. And so we rest from all of our labor on the Sabbath day. We continue in the text. It says, as all was finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God finished his work, that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And then it says in verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day. Who remembers the previous two blessings? He blessed both the birds of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and humanity to be fruitful and multiply, right? He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And here, though, he doesn't choose to bless a thing, as in a created thing, but an idea. He chooses to bless the seventh day as something holy and different, something worthy of his blessing. He creates a rhythm of life that we are to be to dwell in. But we have to recognize that the Sabbath, as Jesus says, the Sabbath was not made for man, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Meaning, we weren't created that we might rest on the seventh day. It was created that we might rest on it, that we might choose to obey and to honor God. I appreciate the rhythm that he has given in creation. After he says, be fruitful and multiply, he then says, and you should rest on the seventh day. I don't know a parent yet that doesn't agree with that. After being fruitful and multiplying, they said, we need to rest. Rest is given to parents, amen. They need to rest on the seventh day. It should be different and holy, separated for God. Is a day holy? What does that mean? He blessed the seventh day and made it holy. If you've been in church very often, you know that holy means it's set apart for the use of God. It's something that is separate and distinct. What makes it different and holy? Why is the seventh day this? It's quite simple. God rested. God did it. It is now different because it's set apart for God, because God rested on it. It's not holy because we choose to meet here today. The church's choice to come to gather together did not make the seventh day holy. Israel's choice to find a synagogue and learn about the things of God on the seventh day is not what made it holy. It is not holy because it was a good idea. It's not separate and set apart because, hey, it's a great idea. We should rest every once in a while. That way we're more excited for work on Monday. That's not how it works, by the way. Resting on Sunday didn't make you more excited to go back to work on Monday. I don't know if you guys knew that yet or not. It's even more of a challenge after you rest. Like, you get in a rhythm and you're like, oh, it's just the rhythm. You take the break and now you realize I have to go back. It's harder. So we don't do it because it's easy. Nor do we even take the day of rest because all work and no play make Jack a dull boy. These things might be true. I'd even say the things are true. But they are not what make it set apart for God. It is set apart for God because God chose to rest upon it, to set it as a sign for us. It is holy, fully, and completely because God has made it so. When Jesus was asked about divorce, he was told, he said, this is what Moses has said. And how do you say? Well, he responded, but it wasn't that way from the beginning. One man, one woman, amen? Not one man, not one woman, one woman, not one man and two women, not one woman and two men, as a lot of people are choosing to do now as they forget. From the beginning, it was not so. One man, one woman. From the beginning, it was 7 days of creation. 6 to create, 1 to rest, because it's a sign for us, and it is to be that way. And it is no shock to anyone, I think, that when the church and people choose to work all 7 and forget about going and honoring God on the seventh day, not that they don't rest, but it's not holy. More people in America rest now and work less than at any time in American history before. It has nothing to do with the resting or the not working. It has everything to do with not being holy, not being set apart for God's purpose. It is a 7 days set apart from creation as the created order of your life. And no matter how much men want to make a change and do it different, it just doesn't work. Just ask the French, right? They want to get rid of God. They want to destroy what God had created in a 7-day week, so they decide they're going to come up with a 10-day work week. Anyone see that working out for anybody? No. It worked for a few decades. Amen? All of us are or know people. I'll be one that are. Know people that are hard-headed to make something work for a few decades. Amen? I can make anything work for a few decades if I want it to. But eventually, it's overwhelmed by the reality of life. 7 days of creation. 7 days. 6 shall you work and 1 shall you rest. And then God does something in the law later. He says, if you're going to work on this day, it's a capital offense. Isn't that interesting? Death is deserved for working on this day, for refusing to make it holy to God. As you look at the Ten Commandments, realize how many of the death penalties we say are still worthy of death penalties. We still think murder deserves death. At least most of us do. You look at the rest of the law and you see all these death penalties. The Sabbath is one of them. How many of the rest of the Ten Commandments would you say, oh, we can let that one go? You know, we don't need to keep God as first. You know what? We should make images and put them on the cross and make sure we see all of these things and worship around them and venerate them. No, that's not true. No, we believe adultery is right. That should be accomplished. We'll just get rid of that one too. No, you go down through all the Ten Commandments and this is the only one that you see people are honestly arguing we don't need to keep it holy for whatever reason. And now we see the fruit of that in our culture today in the United States and in Europe. Sabbath breaking was cause of the downfall of Judea, and it was cause for the death of many who would break it. It was cause that people would pick up stones to try and kill the Christ because they thought he had broken it. We do not take the Sabbath as it should be. We do not take it seriously. It is a death penalty. God takes it seriously. So should you. It is holy and set apart for his purpose. So which day then is it? The Sabbath is the 7th day. We worship on the 1st day. We gather together and honor God as holy today. Why do we do that? The argument being, well, you know what? Jesus worshipped on the 7th day. Paul went into the synagogue and argued for Christianity in the synagogue to the Jews on what day of the week? The 7th day. So all the commandments are still in force, amen? We still believe it's wrong to murder, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to commit adultery, it's wrong to covet. Why not the 7th day? Well, the argument is, because God, Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. As he says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Not the other way around. He can do what he wants on the day. Because it's to him that we worship. If he chooses, we worship him on Thursday. He chose today. He chose the first day of the week. On the first day, he rose from the dead. On the first day, the Spirit came down and gave the Spirit and gave the church its power. On the first day, Paul preached until midnight. Amen. Here we go. I'm going to get started. Then I wouldn't recommend hanging out near the windows. Guys, people fall asleep after midnight sermons. This is the reality that the church has always met on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week is when Paul said you should gather your money so that when he comes, he's not worrying about you having to get a big group, a big tithe together to take. Just get it ready every day, every week on the first day of the week. Gather a little. And then we'll take it together. On the first day of the week, he says all of these things. And Jesus taught his disciples. And his disciples taught the church. And they obeyed the command of the commission in Matthew 28. To teach them all that I have commanded. the apostles set up the church to worship and gather together on the first day of the week. And so we do, because it is what God has instituted, because he is Lord of the Sabbath. And the command is to work six and rest one. I like to point out, the command for us Americans is not to work five and rest two. You are to be active and working on the Saturday. What's your work look like? I don't know. But it's a great blessing that you have another day that you don't have to be working for someone else, but you can work for yourself. Accomplish much in your garden or in your personal business or anything else. 6 days you are to work and rest on one. And that rest is to be holy, meaning it's to be set apart for God and his glory. We've always met this way. Even Pliny the Younger has noticed that the Christians, when they had to work, meaning they were slaves, so they would go and worship before dawn together. And then they'd work all day, and they would come together at an evening meal and worship some more. Because they were slaves, they did not have the right to say, "Sorry, buddy, I'm not going to work today." That's not how slavery works, for those that were wondering what that was like. They knew they were slaves, and yet they chose one day to set apart as holy, as separate, as different for God's glory, for them to serve him and not themselves. It's not because we need rest. It's because God has given us a sign, and God has commanded that we would rest on this day and set it apart for him and for his glory and not our own. But then again, how do we keep this day holy? How do you keep it separate and different? My first employer did it this way. He found the church in town that started the earliest, went to it, and then went to work afterwards. It was holy, meaning he went to church first on that day. No, that's not how we do that. The Puritans, versus the people on the continent, the Christians on the continent, would differ about how you keep it holy. Meaning that the Puritans would say, no, you can't even play games on this day. It is holy to God. No, you are to do it for God's glory. What work is good? Anything that gives God the glory. And it's for the church and for the people of God. So much so that King James would have to make an argument for why you should be playing sports on Sunday. He'd go through those Presbyterian areas and all the kids were just sitting there bored. He's like, why aren't they out playing? I'm like, well, they're Presbyterians. They don't do that. It's Sabbath day. So he'd write a whole book on why they should go out and work on their athleticism to be ready for the military on this day and why it was okay by God. But he had to make the argument. But on the continent, they would be willing to, you know what, it is rest. As long as it's not in the way of holy, separate, and being used by God. It's not getting in the way of church, evening and morning services, or getting in the way of good works that you should or could be doing. Sure, go enjoy bowling on the lawn, as Calvin would be seen doing. There is a difference of opinion there, but I want you to note that they both recognize that it is to be holy, meaning it's to be separate and set apart for God's glory. We assemble with the saints, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, as we've read before. We do not forsake the assembly. That is the first step in showing that it is holy. That even my first employer would recognize he is not going to remain separate from the assembly. He's going to make the time to go to the earliest church service he could. Sometimes he'd go to the country Lutheran service because they did it 6, because that pastor had to start his at 7 so that he could get back into town to do the one in town. But he'd go to the outside, he'd drive 20 minutes out of town to go to that one. Because it was separate and holy, because he knew he needed to gather together with the assembly of believers. You must gather together in the assembly. How do you keep it holy? What are you doing Sunday for his glory? You can rest for his glory. You can rest with your children and play games, enjoying the fellowship with your children, enjoying the fellowship with your brothers and sisters, enjoying the fellowship with other believers, not at church. But do it for his glory. You can play pitch after church for God's glory as you gather together. When you evaluate, what am I going to do today? Are you doing it for his glory or just so you can get your job done. When we were down in Halstead, you would have individuals that would work. They would be Mennonites, and they would be on harvest crews. And you know what they did? They worked until midnight. And you know what they did? They started work at 12:01 Monday morning. Why? Because Sunday was different, holy and separate. Not because it was easy to work till midnight, or not because it was easy to stay up and get to work at 12:01, but because it was for God, and God had said, and it was holy. And it was for His glory that they would refuse, and it would be known. Everyone knew that they aren't working today. And they'd get as much done and all they could get done, but it was for God, not themselves. They could get another field done, right? But they chose not to. How do you keep the day holy? You plan ahead. As you would read through the Old Testament, you'll notice they weren't even supposed to be cooking meals that day. It was leftovers. It was sandwiches. Mom wasn't supposed to be having to do a whole day's work today. You plan your meals the day before so you won't have to work or worry about what are we going to do today. And we do work on the Sabbath. Jesus worked on the Sabbath. The priests worked on the Sabbath. Right? He healed. He taught. He did acts of mercy. And so are we allowed to. And once more, he didn't even get nitpicky because they would grab some grain, right? His disciples grab a little grain, get a little snack, eat it. And they want to say, well, that's work. They're harvesting. Like, oh, come on. I'm not making the argument that flipping on your slow cooker or your Instapot is work. Amen? Anyone that had to do that and call that work has never had to prepare an actual meal from scratch with all of the pans. This is not work, and I'm not going to make that argument. Some would, oh, turning on your radio, that's too much work. No, that's not work. The question is it glorifying God? Plan ahead. Plan your meals ahead. Say, I'm not going to spend my time doing this. I'm going to spend my time with my children. I'm going to spend my time glorifying God in whatever I'm doing. Activities that require interaction are to be preferred because it is a day to be gathering together. Meaning, this is the first time you're going to hear me say this. It is preferable to sit with someone and play a video game with them than it is to sit and watch a movie on the Sabbath day. Because you can sit and watch a movie by yourself or with someone else and it doesn't matter. Play a game that requires someone to be with you. 10-point pitch is better than solitaire on the Sabbath day because it requires you to be with someone and interact. It is a day to be holy and separate for gathering together. And if you need to work, no, it should not be ordinary work, not work that you do every other day, but a different thing set about for God's glory. And it should be set apart so in your mind. Because in the end, I'm not your judge. God is your judge. Is it set apart for God's glory in your heart? That's where it matters. Hospitality is an act worthy of the Sabbath. Have someone over to play a game, to converse with, to sit and chat. Plan ahead so no one worries about it. Even on days that we don't have a church meal, plan to not be frenzied. Plan to interact. Plan to enjoy the assembly of the righteous and set it apart for God's glory. That is what the Sabbath is for. And it is important enough that it's a capital offense to not enjoy the Sabbath. It's important enough that God would give it as a sign from creation that you should do it. It's the first thing He did after He made everything. It's the last thing He talked of before He gave those 10 commandments to Moses. It is important. Treat it so. Let's pray. Mighty God, I thank You for Your Sabbath. I thank You for letting us gather together to worship today. I pray, Father, that we would not take lightly the gift You have given us in the Sabbath day. and that by your mercies you would help us to keep it holy and to glorify and serve you in it, on it, and through it. Pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Please stand as we sing.